Good morning. So good to worship with my church family and to hear our hearts and our voices praising Jesus and for the work that he's done for us. Are you glad to be here this morning? I am glad to be here this morning. Open your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 6 if you're visiting with us or if you just forgot and you've been here. We're in the Sermon on the Mount. And we've been walking through this for a while. We are an expository preaching church, which all that means is we just go verse by verse, passage by passage, keeping everything in context. So this big giant sermon series is really this entire Sermon on the Mount. And within that Sermon on the Mount, we find these awesome little mini series. And so right now we are in the Lord's Prayer, looking at the greatest prayer ever prayed. Why can we say that? Because Jesus prayed it. Jesus taught it. And so this morning we continue, and we'll be in verse 12 this morning, so have that ready. As I was preparing and working on the sermon, I was sitting in my office, and I had my Bible software open on my computer, and then my Bible on the computer, and then my commentaries, and I looked up, and there's, you know, hundreds of books in my library, and I was just thinking, you know, I'm a big fan of resources. Does anyone like resources? Okay, a few of us. Yeah, I mean, I love resources. It's such a crazy cool time that we live in that we can find information on just about anything. We can go to the internet. We can get books off Amazon. We can get on YouTube and easily find a step by step on how to fix our car or fix a hot water heater. What we have resources all over the place, and I love that. It's the same for religion or theology and the Bible. We have all these resources. I just typed in books on prayer on Amazon, and over 8,000 popped up. I mean, I'm not saying all those are probably doctrinally correct, but that there are resources there that we look at, and we think, oh, I need to check on what prayer means, and we have just resources everywhere. And then I thought about how I still am most envious of just those common men that Jesus called as his disciples. They walked with the Son of God. They said, "Tell me, Jesus, about this," and he would tell them. They would walk and talk about spiritual things with the Son of God, with the Creator of all things. They got to ask him questions and listen to him teach on these things, and that's so amazing. And all they said was, "Jesus, how do we pray? Teach us how to pray." The disciples went straight to the source and asked Jesus to teach us to pray. Good news is, thankfully, we have God's Word. He has protected it through time. He has given us his truth. And so even though we might not have every single word Jesus ever said or every discourse that he taught on prayer, we can trust that we have what we need to know about prayer and to understand what we need to be doing as we pray and how to pray. And so we have been diving in over the last few weeks, diving in really pretty deep to understand these elements of prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. And I hope, and I've been talking to some of you personally, and many of you have come up to me saying, this has been really encouraging, this has been really good to go deeper into these phrases. And so I hope that we have been able to look at this prayer with a new sense of awe, a new sense of respect, reverence, wonder, as we look at the richness of these phrases. And I hope that we never again, as children of God, never again as believers, ever mindlessly repeat these phrases again. That's my hope, because that's what has been done with this prayer for hundreds of years. Mindlessly repeating phrases that we either don't understand or we don't even understand the significance of how serious they are. But I hope that we are beginning to understand, and we instead will repeat, when we do repeat these phrases, that we will do that with a new sense of reverence. But go beyond that, that we will use this as a pattern, a model of prayer to saturate our intimate times with the Father. So how are we to pray? Jesus teaches us how to pray. So look with me at Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read again the entire prayer and then dive into one of these phrases. Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 13. Jesus says, "Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Our Father, our dearest Abba Father, hallowed be your name. God, you are holy, you are sovereign, you are all-powerful, you are set apart above everything, so we praise you. Your kingdom come. Lord, please work all things for your glory right now and also for all eternity. Your will be done. Lord, your will be done in my life and in this world, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Thank you, Jesus, for providing everything that I need today, physically and spiritually. And forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from evil. This morning we look at this phrase in verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And what we're going to see, and what I pray that we all see as we look at the seriousness of this petition, that we stop skimming over this and only focusing on one aspect of it, but that we see both sides of what God has called us to in this prayer. That we see the seriousness of this petition, but at the same time, as we will be brought with a very intense seriousness, a conviction on our hearts this morning, that we will also see that there is freedom and joy that it brings to our lives when we pray this prayer with seriousness. And I hope that we see what it looks like to live this out in our lives. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Let's pray this morning. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that we have everything that we need. Thank you that you know us, that you created us, and you have called us to be intimate, to have a relationship with you. That you are in control of all things, that you are sovereign, that your will is going to be done, that you are guiding history, yet you say, come to me and speak to me, pray with me, talk to me, ask me for requests. You desire that relationship with us. You are teaching us to pray from your word, from your truth. So God, speak to us in a very difficult petition of this prayer, Lord. Help us to see the seriousness of this prayer, but also see with the freedom, the joy, and the healing that can come from this. Thank you, Jesus, for salvation in you. Thank you for your work on the cross. Thank you for rising from the grave, defeating death. Thank you that we can now come to you, that the veil has been torn from top to bottom, that we can now come into your presence and speak to you and call you Abba Father. God, speak to our hearts this morning. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We have seen, I hope that we have seen throughout this series, throughout this mini-series within our big series, I hope that we have seen and understand now the seriousness of this entire prayer. Is anyone kind of feeling that? That this goes beyond just mindlessly repeating this? That there really is a seriousness to the words that we are praying? That is why Luther called this prayer the fearful prayer. He said, this is a fearful prayer. Not that it should scare us to pray, okay? That's not the point here, but that it is a serious petition to pray. And Luther was speaking primarily on, Lord, your will be done in my life. He said, that's a fearful thing to pray. Lord, your will be done in my life and in this world. And as we look at this next phrase, this is just as serious because it is a phrase that when prayed with a humble heart, we're really praying for two things. If you look at verse 12, when we pray this phrase that we're looking at this morning, we're praying for two things. We're praying for forgiveness, but we are also praying for a forgiving heart. We're praying for forgiveness of our sin, confession of our sin, but we are also praying for a forgiving heart to forgive others. Now, we tend to like the first half, right? Forgive me. We don't like to deal with the second half of this petition, do we? We struggle with the requirement that comes, and it really is. It's a requirement. They go together. We struggle with the requirement that comes with the second part to this petition, Lord, give me a forgiving spirit. So let's start with the hard first, okay? Let's start with the second half of this petition, a prayer for a forgiving heart. Look at verse 12, and forgive us our debts. And here's the second part, as we also have forgiven our debtors. We cry out for forgiveness. God, forgive me of my sin. Yet, Christ has given us a prerequisite, a requirement in order to be forgiven. Okay, don't miss this. There is a requirement to be forgiven, and that is to forgive others. Can we just all be honest this morning, okay, within this group? Let's just kind of get it out of the open. Let's take off our holier-than-thou religious mask and just admit that this is difficult, okay? Is it difficult? Okay, thank you. Okay, we're just going to be honest. We're being transparent here. That second half of this petition is very difficult. It is a very difficult part of this prayer. We desire to be forgiven. Thank you, Lord, for my forgiveness. But our flesh has a difficult time forgiving others who have wronged us. Am I right? Amen? Yes, that's a fair statement, I think. And I bet if we put a truth serum in all of us, we would find that many of us, most of us, or maybe all of us have some deep bitterness. Maybe even in this room right now, we have some fresh wounds. Maybe most of us, many of us, or all of us have some anger and unforgiveness that we have swept under the rug that needs to be dealt with. And so we skip over the second half of that part. Yet when we ask, Jesus, teach us to pray, he has included this very difficult requirement to actually receiving his forgiveness. Oh, that's tough to say, isn't it? He's requiring something from us in order to be forgiven. We don't want to deal with that because, like I said, most of us, many of us, maybe every single one of us in here have some deep anger, bitterness, unforgiveness that we have swept under. And this is why St. Augustine called this the terrible petition. I think it's kind of funny, these church fathers that we have. Luther called praying, thy will be done, a fearful petition. And here Augustine calls this petition, the terrible petition. Why? Because in his words, okay, these are not my words, because in Augustine's words, he says this, to pray, forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. If we pray that phrase with an unforgiving heart, then we are actually asking God not to forgive us. That's what he says. Is this hard? Yes. And that is why I think it's very interesting. And I believe Jesus knew exactly how hard this petition was, because after the Lord's Prayer, look what he does in verses 14 and 15. He's like, oh, by the way, let me kind of drive this home one more time for you. Just about that part up there. Look at verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So he gives us he's like, let me teach you how to pray. He gives us the Lord's Prayer. And then verse 12, he's like, and one of the petitions that you should have, one of these parts of your prayer life with me is to say, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. He finishes the Lord's Prayer and he's like, oh, and let me just make sure you really got verse 12. Let me just make sure you understood, because I know how hard this is going to be for you. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This was not a new teaching. We already saw this in the Beatitudes. Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for then they shall receive mercy. Jesus meant what he said, which is why this truth is clear in the Lord's Prayer and why he drives it home again in verse 15. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, then neither will the Father forgive your trespasses. Now listen to what Spurgeon said. You guys, anyone like Charles Spurgeon? Raise your hand if you like Charles Spurgeon. Okay, you probably won't after this. Okay. Charles Spurgeon said this, unless you have forgiven others, you read your own death warrant when you repeat the Lord's Prayer. It's like, I don't really like Charles anymore. He didn't really, it's not really relevant. That was like late 1800s. Now we're going to talk about forgiveness, so here in a minute. We're going to talk about what salvation does. So don't start worrying, being scared of not being forgiven. We're going to get there. But I want you to understand what Jesus is saying. Why is it so important for the believer to forgive, to have a forgiving spirit? Why are we to forgive? The first thing is this. The first reason is this. Forgiveness is the mark of a true believer. If you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, then you will have a forgiving spirit. If you're really a Christian, not just a religious member of a church coming and putting on your religious mask and going through the motions, but you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then forgiveness will be a mark of your life. Being able to forgive others is fruit of a changed heart in Christ. Remember, when God's grace truly changes us, washes us clean, makes us a new creation, God's grace makes us forgiving. Christ in us gives us the ability to forgive. And this is a mark of a true believer. Okay, now, listen very carefully. Listen to me. I'm not talking about that you're not a Christian if you struggle with forgiveness, okay? I don't want you to walk out here like, well, I'm struggling with forgiveness. I guess I'm not a Christian. Don't hear what I'm saying. I'm not talking about people who have even very fresh wounds, who are pleading with God, help me to forgive, who are working through this forgiveness. Just because you're struggling with forgiveness does not mean that you are not a Christian, okay? Does that make sense? We're going to struggle with forgiveness because we're human and we struggle with our old flesh. Just because one day you aren't very forgiving doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. Don't misunderstand this. It is to those who have no desire to forgive, those who are completely unwilling to forgive, that we must look at our hearts and say, well, am I truly a believer? I have zero desire to ever forgive. In fact, I like to not forgive. I love not forgiving. That's the question we need to ask our hearts. And I would say if you're struggling with forgiveness, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you're saying, Lord, I am struggling to forgive. I'm struggling to forgive. Then here's what I would suggest. Spend time with the Father. Immerse yourself in His Word. Go back to when you were saved and remember how Christ forgave you. If you're a believer, did Christ forgive you of all your filth? Yeah. It's very prideful to come along this side and say, well, thankfully Christ forgave me, but I'm not going to forgive others. If Christ truly has forgiven us and we are true believers, then there will be fruit in us to be able to forgive. If you are a Christian, we can and will be able to forgive in Christ, in the power of Christ in us. Because why? Because forgiveness is the mark of a true believer. Why else are we to forgive? One, it's because its fruit. It's the mark of a believer. The second reason is this: we are to forgive because of Christ's example, because Christ did it. WWJD? Anyone remember those bracelets? Anyone? What would Jesus do? What did Jesus do on the cross? He forgave us. If you've trusted in the name of Jesus and you're a follower of Jesus and Christ has called you and you are saved, then he has forgiven you of your sins. Why are we as believers to forgive? Because we are to be like Christ. 1 John 2:6 says it very clearly, whoever says he abides in him, which means if you say you're a believer in him, then we ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. We are to be like Christ. Christ is our example of forgiveness. If you are a Christian, then you know this forgiveness. He forgave us, and then we are to forgive others who have sinned against us. But Chris, you don't understand how bad I've been hurt. No, I do not, and I never will. I will never understand how badly some of you have been hurt. And you don't understand my hurts, do you? You don't really understand how bad I've been hurt on some things. You're a pastor, you probably haven't been hurt. Absolutely, I've been hurt. But Chris, I can't, you can't. You cannot in your own power forgive. But Christ in you, his amazing grace, his saving grace, his forgiveness, the fruit of the Spirit, you can and will be able to forgive. Thank the Lord we can cry, Abba, Father. Thank the Lord we can take our hurts and wounds to the Father. We can abide in him, walk in him, and forgive like him. I said this when we looked at, Lord, your will be done in my life. I'm amazed at how many people want to come and they're like, tell me what the Lord wants. I want to know what the Lord wants. And then when you ask them, how much time are you spending with the Father, they're not. They want the vending machine. Just give me what I want and tell me what I need to do. But they're not willing to spend time and immerse themselves in God's word and to pray with him. Same here. We're like, well, I can't forgive. You don't know how bad I've been. And then I say, well, how much time are you spending with the Lord? And allowing him to heal your wounds and for you to see and understand and remember how you've been forgiven. And usually people that are Christians that are struggling to be able to forgive, they're far away from the Lord. And I get it because we're hurt. But if we are to forgive, we must spend time with Jesus to know and understand his forgiveness and his grace and his love. We need to take these hurts and wounds to the Father, to abide in him, to walk in him, and forgive like him. Why are we as believers to forgive? Because we are to be like Christ to this broken world. What a testimony of Jesus' power and his grace and his forgiveness if we as broken people can share that love and forgive others to this world, right? They get to see the change. They get to see the power of Christ. We're to forgive, why? Because it is a mark of a true believer. We are to forgive, why? Because it's what Christ did, and we are to be like Christ. The third reason is this: forgiveness frees us from guilt. Forgiveness frees us from pain. When this petition is seriously prayed, when we pray, forgive me of my sins, forgive me of my debts, as I forgive others, when we seriously begin to forgive others, it can be spiritually healing. It can break down the barrier that can open really the floodgate to peace. And I'm sure some of you have known that, and you've seen that happen in your life. It can open the floodgate, break down the barriers to healing of broken relationships. It can break down the barriers and open the floodgates to true happiness in Christ. But Chris, you don't know and understand how bad I've been hurt. Nope. I don't. I do not. I'll never claim to. But many of us, most of us, or maybe all of us, need to hear the good news of this terrible petition that we are called to forgive. Does that sounds funny? The good news of this terrible petition, there's good news in it because it brings healing. When we live it, when we're true believers and we begin to work through our pain and our wounds and we give them over to God, we immerse ourselves in God's word and we spend time with him and we say, Lord, help me to forgive, and we begin to forgive, it's going to bring healing to your life. It's going to take away the guilt. It's going to take away the pain. It's going to open that, it's going to break down the barriers that bring us true peace, true happiness. It's the good news of this terrible petition. We are called to forgive, and with that forgiveness comes healing. And then with that forgiveness of others, we are then able to be and receive God's forgiveness of our sins. And we're able to pray the first half of this petition. So let's look at that. A prayer for forgiveness. Verse 12, the very first part, and forgive us our debts. What does this mean? What are our debts? We look at this first part of the petition. It means that we are debtors, that we are sinners, that we are sinful. Okay, are Christians sinful? That's the question, right? I mean, we need to understand this, okay? So I hope that you'll listen to me carefully. And children and teenagers and adults, we all need to kind of be reminded of this. If we are truly Christians, if we are truly followers of Christ, our sins have been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay. They have been, all of them. Those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ have received God's pardon because of the atoning work of Christ on the cross. We have received that pardon as believers. Our sins have been forgiven. We have been pardoned from our sin. We have been saved from hell. We have been saved from eternal separation from God. This is good news. Great news. The good news of the gospel. If that's true, if our sins have been forgiven and we have been pardoned and we have been saved from eternal damnation and hell and the penalty of our sin, why would Jesus tell us to pray for forgiveness? Why would he say, well, how do I pray, Lord, as a believer, as a follower of you? Teach me how to pray. Why would this be so important? Why would we have to pray this prayer, forgive us our debts? What this petition is teaching us is that we are to pray for forgiveness of our sins, we are to have an ongoing daily confession of our sins. That word to pray, to forgive us our debts, if you look back at the Greek, that's not just a once, one time. That is an ongoing daily confession of our sins. And this is also a mark of a true believer, that we are daily confessing our sins. Did anyone get saved as a young child? Okay, now raise your hand high if you have never sinned since that day you were saved. Be proud. Okay, Garrett. Wow, that's why you're teaching Sunday school, Garrett. Here. We still fall short. Our sins have been forgiven. We have been pardoned. We will stand before the Lord God someday, and he will look at us and he will pardon us, not because of us, but because of Jesus, because of his blood. But as we are growing in him and being sanctified and maturing in Christ, we still fall short. We still struggle. And so Christ says, daily confess your sins. Why? Because we still fall into sin and we need God's ongoing gracious forgiveness. 1 John 1, 9 and 10 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Do we see that? This means we are daily to confess. If we say that we haven't sinned since we got saved, then we're making him a liar. Then we're not really true believers if we claim that. think about it this way, and I'm not going to take credit for this illustration, but this, the pastor at the revival that we led worship at last week, he used this, and it's just a basic understanding, but I'll give him props for reminding me of this. But think about, like, my relationship with my wife, okay? I love my wife. Her name's Jonna. She's sitting back there. I can see her. Hi. October 8th, coming up on our anniversary, our first date. We'll have been married 28 years this December, coming up. I mean, been awesome. We love each other. We tell each other we love each other every day. Before we go to bed at night, before we fall asleep, we love each other. Our love is deep, and it's strong, and it doesn't change. But if I wrong her, if I do something stupid, if I say something stupid, if I forget to do something that I said I would do, if I don't communicate properly, if there's something that goes on and we have some issue in between us, our love is still the same, right? We still love each other. We can be upset, but our love is still the same. But there's something kind of like a wedge into our intimacy, right? There's something not, we've experienced it through the years. It was like, it just, nothing feels right when we're that way. And it's not going to feel right until I come to her and say, that was stupid. I'm sorry. The love has never changed. Our love would be still the same. But until we get that thing right, the intimacy can't be back to the way it was and continue to grow. And this is what we need to be doing with our Heavenly Father. Daily confessing our sin. When we fall into sin, Christ's love for us will never, ever change. That's don't live your life feeling like if I do something wrong, then I lose my salvation. That is not biblical. Christ says he will never leave us nor forsake us. Christ died once and for all. Nothing can separate us from the love of God as his children. But sometimes daily, we need to come to him and say, I'm sorry. That was stupid. Forgive me. Forgive me of going against your commands, for going against what I know is right. Sometimes we come like Paul and it's like, God, why do I do stupid stuff? Why do I do things that I know I shouldn't do? And why don't I do the things that you told me to? I mean, we come with that same feeling. What does it mean to confess? It means to agree. It means to agree that our sin is sin, that we don't justify our sin, that we come to him and say, you know what? Your Bible, your word says this, and I agree with you that what I did was wrong. That's confession, agreeing that sin is sin and that we are so thankful for his unending grace. The world, we are not of the world, right? Believers are not of the world. The world justifies sin. And they've stopped calling most sin sin. We as believers, we come to the Lord on our knees with a poverty of spirit, with a humble heart, and we say, I agree, I confess what I've done is wrong, and I agree that sin is sin. Forgive me. Daily confession, praying, Abba Father, dearest Father, forgive us our sins as we have also forgiven those who have sinned against us. This is the mark of a true believer. It's the mark of spiritual growth. It's the mark of being sanctified. It breaks the barrier of guilt in our lives. It brings peace. When we're praying this entire petition, forgive me as I've forgiven others, it can heal the broken relationships in our lives. It really, truly is a miracle. God's forgiveness and grace is a miracle. And when God has given us the ability to forgive others, that's a miracle. The terrible petition is such a miracle. It's good news to believers. It brings us to our knees. It brings us to a poverty of spirit. It brings us to praise and worship for what Christ has done on the cross. And so my question to us, to all of us, is first of all, do we know this forgiveness in our life? If you know God's incredible forgiveness, if you do, then let us forgive others as Christ has forgiven us. Let us daily confess our sins so that we can continue to grow in our relationship with Christ. Maybe you feel, maybe you would say, Chris, I am a believer, and I remember when Christ saved me. But Chris, I am so dry right now. I'm just so stagnant. It might be that this complete petition is not happening in your life. It might be that you're not going to the Father daily, confessing your sin, and it might be that you have so much unforgiveness and anger and bitterness that you've swept under the rug that you haven't ever dealt with. And there's barriers and walls to peace and healing and brokenness. If you don't know this forgiveness, you can. You can. If you feel the call of the Holy Spirit on your life and you say, I've never experienced God's saving grace, you can. If you know that you are a sinner, you can experience His forgiveness and forgiveness, His grace today. Romans 10:13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Maybe you find this video online and you know that you desire a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know that you need a Savior. You feel Christ, the Holy Spirit calling on your life. Call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Christ loves you. Believers, don't wait any longer to deal with the hurt in your life. Don't wait any longer to deal with the unforgiveness in your life. Stop sweeping it under the rug. You ever had a rug on a hardwood floor anywhere in your life, and then you lifted it up one day? You know how nasty that is under there? Everything around it looks pretty good. And you just keep sweeping stuff under there, and it's just filthy. That's the way a lot of our lives are with hurt and unforgiveness and bitterness. We just keep kind of going, I don't want to deal with that. But when we do that, we're causing issues with our relationship, our personal, our intimacy with the Father. Because Jesus says right here, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. But he goes on in verse 14 and 15, it's like, if you will forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then neither will your Father forgive your trespass. That's a big statement. The terrible petition, but we have seen the good news, the healing, the joy, the miracle that comes from dealing with this. But Chris, you don't understand. I know. I don't. I'll say it again. I don't know what you've been through. You can tell me and I still won't truly get it. It's extremely hard to forgive. But thank the Lord, Christ knows what you've been through. Thank the Lord, Christ has already won the victory over sin, death, brokenness. He has defeated Satan. He's already defeated him. He's already defeated Satan. He's defeated that liar and deceiver. And Christ can, because of that, have victory over unforgiveness in your life today. Let's pray. God, thank you for the cross. Thank you for victory. Thank you for your word. It is difficult, and you know it's difficult, which is why you gave us extra verses on this difficult petition, because you love us and you know it. And you know that obeying and following and hearing your word will bring victory and healing and peace and happiness and joy. It's a miracle. God, I pray for those that you are calling to be your children. I pray that they would call upon the name of the Lord today. I pray for those of us that are believers that are struggling with unforgiveness and brokenness, that we will go to you, we will go to your word, that we will spend time with you, that we will cry out, Lord, help me to forgive. And we know through you, through your power, through your victory, we can. I pray that you would bring healing upon the lives in this church body. Hurts and wounds and brokenness that I can't even begin to imagine, that is deep and hidden and dark and in places that we've swept under and things that we haven't told people, and when we've tried to tell people, that just doesn't even make sense when we try to explain it. Lord, you know our hearts. I pray that you would bring healing starting right now as we trust in your word. Thank you for salvation in you. Thank you for our forgiveness, that you've pardoned our sin. Thank you that we can daily go to you. Thank you that we, because of Christ, we get to just talk to you, confess our sins daily, and that we have the ability, the power through you to forgive others. We love you. We give you all the glory. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.